Hello, we are back with the Barca Breakdown Podcast. Little 7 a.m. game today for your hosts. My name is Adam.
And I'm Yusef. So please, we wanted to start out with like, subscribe, follow us on at Barca Breakdown on Instagram and Twitter.
Throw us a review on iTunes.
Yes, we're getting a couple more, less reviews, but more stars, which we appreciate. And we want to ask that you guys, you know, spread the word to your friends, family, anybody that loves Barca Breakdown. Word of mouth is great. We want to get more listeners.
So today we have three main topics. The win and clean sheet against Getafe. We're going to go back in time to before the season started and listen to our predictions for how the season would end up panning out after seven games. And then we're going to visit the upcoming game against Inter Milan in the Champions League this week. So let's break it down. FC Barcelona, if you can believe, won an away game and got a clean sheet.
Yes.
First of the season. So, played against Getafe in Getafe in Madrid. Also going to be the scene of the Atletico Real clash in about an hour and a half our time.
True.
Last season, we beat them 2-1 away and then 2-0 at home. I think, you know, they started the day at 7 points. We were at 10, so 3 points behind us. So, let's go into the lineup. Unfortunately, we got the big bad news of the day. You know, I saw a funny comment saying that it should be more breaking news when Dembele is healthy than when he's injured. But Dembele's out. You know, this is the point where you have to start to wonder what's going on with our technical team and what's going on with our coach, although you wonder that all the time. In terms of, you know, Messi, Dembele hurt, we start putting them back in, and they got re-injured. So Dembele was probably the big big miss today. Really wanted to see.
Really unfortunate. Extremely unfortunate. He would look good last game, too.
I know. It's just, you know, I guess hope he's healthy for Inter, but I think, like we all know,
Valverde is questionable about it already. So.
I know. But, you know, everyone pray for Dembouz. But, yeah, let's go into the lineup. So we had, and as well, we should mention Ansu Fati is feeling a little bit hurt. You know, yeah. I think in some sense, you know, we were kind of joking around about Fati mania a little bit, even though he did take the team by storm. But there were some good points last week of people saying, listen, guys, not us, but in general, it's not good that you have a 16-year-old as like a key player for a team. I mean, his body's just not mature enough to handle a full season of games. And, you know, if we're thinking that we're going to need him in big games later in the season, starting him away against Getafe for the, you know, what was it, seventh, eighth game of the season, probably not a good sign. So he was hurt as well. We were looking forward to seeing maybe a Griezmann, Dembele, Fati frontline. We didn't. So this game we saw front three, Griezmann, Suarez, Perez.
I like that. I like Perez being up there, honestly.
Yeah, so when the lineup came out, what did you think of that front three? I mean, besides being upset about Dembele not being there, you know, I think a big point of ours the last two games in a row has been just Suarez underperforming. He made us eat our words a little bit today, to be honest.
Definitely.
Yeah, so what do you think about that front three?
I would say that Suarez obviously was, like, making me uneasy still, but it was almost like a flip between Griezmann and Suarez. Not to say Suarez looked bad, Griezmann looked bad or anything, but he looked a little
less involved.
Less involved, a little less on defense. He may have just been tired, and we saw that he's been playing every game full 90 minutes for the last seven games. In this game, he got pulled off, which, I mean, I think is good for rest. But I was pretty confident with Perez. I really like him. I think he's a good starting winger. He adds a lot to the team. A
lot of hustle.
Hustle, assists, vision.
And then I think the midfield, which is kind of turning out to be our strong three, has been Arthur, De Jong, and Busquets. And then in the back line, I guess the big surprise was Roberto for Semedo. Not a surprise if you listen to this podcast and our general criticism of Semedo not developing and getting better as a player for the last 2.5 years.
And we're going to touch on that later.
Definitely. So overall, a pretty standard lineup considering the injuries. Let's get at it. So I think, you know, before we break down the goals, I mean, the big thing I thought just throughout the whole game was just Getafe. Two things. One is came out very aggressive and played us pretty strongly. You know, even though our defense was held tough, they pushed us a lot, even drew a red card, you know, to Lenglet at the end of the game.
Although a lot of that stuff is crap. Right?
True. I mean, they just are turning out to be the butchers of La Liga. So many fouls. Just constantly pushing, pulling on Arthur and De Jong. I thought it was a little bit reckless. And I think, like you said, who did they remind you of?
Espanyol. Yeah, they were very aggressive. They just came out. It almost was a positive thing for us, I think, though. not to say I enjoyed seeing our players get hurt and like tackled and roughhoused, but you can imagine that some of these games we've played before, we come out and we look kind of boring, right?
Flat,
less energy. But this almost forced us to create like a fire and passion that we had to not allow this team to bully us. And we've seen, as we said, we beat them twice last year, both games away and home. It's only good that we keep that narrative, especially against a team we've beat, and we need these points, right? So especially with this rough start to La Liga.
True. You know, I thought overall throughout the game, we really saw the continued trend of Arthur be a star. I mean, you know, Arthur last season played a lot of big games, except for when he was injured and had stamina issues. But if you kind of look at Arthur last season and take the two biggest drawbacks, they were, one, lacking in forward passes, two, lacking stamina, right?
I think the forward pass is definitely developed.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, just some beautiful diagonals. I think he got Suarez onto a one-on-one. He was also integral throughout the game of just trying to get the ball forward, get it out to Firpo on the side. So overall, very happy with him. And I thought De Jong also played well. There were some periods of the game where he had less of a pronounced impact, but overall, you know, two young midfielders looked great.
I mean, I wouldn't say that I think his performance was anywhere near odd. I think he just was, you know, working on the ball.
Who?
FDA. He's working on the ball. He's passing forward. It just... You're not always going to have the perfect vision. And he just wasn't on the ball that much. I think the connections between him and some of the other players were just being that he was kind of crowded a little bit sometimes. But that's... He looked great.
He did.
Yeah.
I don't want to... You know, we won an away game. We won 2-0. Clean sheet for the first time in the La Liga season. But... I don't want to sugarcoat it and say this game was perfect or that the team looked, you know, super impressive. I thought the defense definitely took a step up. There was still a little bit of a hard time finishing. And, you know, like, let's think about the first goal, right? Everyone's going to talk about it. Ter Stegen, I think I saw Barca Twitter tweet out that he's the first goalkeeper in Barca to have an assist in La Liga in the 21st century. So that's
crazy
19 years.
Stat.
Yeah, 19 years. Just a beautiful pass. You know, Stegen after the game said that it might not have been totally on purpose of an assist. But hey, Suarez made a great run, right? I mean,
yeah.
He wasn't even running. He didn't even expect what happened. And immediately saw the ball go long and he just ran just a beautifully placed pass by Stegen. And then, hey, dude, Suarez had a brilliant little chip over the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
1-0. Kind of out of nowhere, and it seemed a little bit against the pace of play. At that time, I thought Getafe were pushing us. But, you know, like you had a great analysis while we were watching, which was this goal and the second goal were kind of like what other teams do to us.
Where, yeah.
You know, we're not playing that great, and then boom, all of a sudden on the quote-unquote, I guess, counterattack a little bit, we score out of nothing.
I agree, and I really enjoyed it. It almost seemed like Suarez's cinder block feet. Finally, he chipped some cement off, and he was able to move on the ball.
He seemed quicker today,
yeah,
just overall.
Yeah, I mean, he had that comment before that before this game that was saying he's not happy with his own performance. He needs to step up his game. He's looking to improve, which is good. I mean, I'm all for having him know that he's doing a bad job and be self-critical and improve upon those things. Especially when we have young players that are coming up now, as you see, especially these players are becoming more of an integral part of our team. We want these players like Suarez to be like, wow, I'm really slacking. I need to create something with these young players, especially teach them, you know, and integrate with each other.
And I think, you know, like we're going to discuss in the Quote Me On It and some of our predictions from the, you know, preseason, that's kind of been our main thread throughout this whole season, really, is that we need the younger players to provide pressure for the older players to, you know, keep their form up and keep being the legends that we've seen throughout history for Busquets, for Suarez, for Piqué, etc., for Alba especially. And it looked like it's happening, right? I mean,
for sure.
Rakitic has been benched. Suarez is getting some heat. Alba is getting some heat. He also got hurt, which is why he's not playing. But, you know, overall, we're seeing these younger players prove that they're going to be better for the tough games in the season because they're quicker, they're more hungry, they're pushing the ball forward. And so, you know, it's good to see Suarez say, hey, I realize I'm not performing to my normal level and I want to come out here and do better.
Let's also give credit to Firpo.
Yes.
He really stepped it up.
He had a lot of fouls in the first half, and I was a little bit worried we're going to have a Firpo classic, but, dude, he did well. And then, yeah, let's talk about the second goal. So the first thing I want to talk about, which is important, is that, you know, we've both been critical of Semedo the last 2 weeks, and today we saw Roberto start off in that right-back position. And what we saw was that the second goal that Firpo scored, it really started with Roberto making a run inside. And that's what I've said a lot, is that Semedo, you know, even though he's quick and he adds width because he attacks down the sideline, he really lacks that interplay with the other players. Mostly Messi is what I've referred to, but in this case, Carlos Perez. So we see Sergio Roberto running from the midfield and then give it to Perez. And Perez did what you've been asking for the whole season.
Thank you. He took a shot outside the box. He forced something to happen. The goalie, unfortunately for him, deflected it. And Firpo was just in the right position to, you know, a perfect shot, too, right between the goalie's legs or the defender's legs. Goalie, sorry. And I think that if it were Alba, I don't think Alba would have been in that position, and I don't think we would have scored off that. I will give props to Firpo. He really, from the game we played him first to now, he's already changed the game, and I'm so happy that this young player is not letting that negative first appearance affect his gameplay today.
Especially since, you know, Alba has been a main target of our criticism. I'm glad to hear that he came out and, you know, is getting better.
Yeah.
I think I agree with you, Alba. You know, he actually scored once this season, but I do think that Firpo was in the right place at the right time. And, yeah, like we've been saying, right, Arthur takes a long shot last game, scores.
Mm-hmm. He almost did it this game, too. He's a crazy long one.
Yeah. And so, you know, without Messi there to make these long balls and with the front three and the midfield three not connecting all the time, a long shot is a way to create a chance out of nothing. You know, you get especially with some of these La Liga teams who have less prestigious goalkeepers, they're going to make mistakes sometimes and not hold on to that ball. And it was great to see Carlos Perez take that shot. And, you know, even where Perez was in that moment was, you know, right in the middle of the field, even though he was playing more on the right wing. I think overall, one thing I will say Valverde has done more of this year, I'm not sure if it's intentional, I think it is, though, is that there seems to be a lot more freedom of movement amongst the front three and De Jong in terms of pushing forward and kind of, you know, moving from where their quote-unquote starting position is to be a little more fluid around the field and kind of trick some defenders. And I think this is a good situation where it played out well. Perez was on the inside, perfect spot to take that long shot. You know, Roberto's run took away two defenders because they wanted to come defend him.
Yeah.
And so overall, it was some good movement and some good play. And I'm happy with how the both goals went.
Well, we need more plays like that, one. And two, to comment on your whether you're questioning if Valverde chose that to be
tactical
or not. I think he is showing more tactical decisions. I mean, we can consider later in the game, we had more of a defensive subs come in. And I would say the one thing was we also lost Lenglet on that red card, right? So we had to create a little bit more of a defensive form.
True, that's why we put Todibo in for
Perez. But we also made the sub before that was still kind of defensive. I mean, we had Raki come in for Busquets. We had Semedo come in for Griezmann and Todibo for Perez. But, yeah, I don't know. I hope that he makes these decisions as a tactical decision. And we'll see. If this continues, especially against a team that is not in La Liga like Inter, who knows?
True. Right? I think some more highlights from the game. I thought Frankie De Jong had some great long balls. He was playing balls out to Perez, out to Griezmann, going over the top, which is not a traditional Barca offensive strategy. I mean, we really see it mostly with Messi, those beautiful, you know, from the right side to the left side to Alba kind of balls. Mm-hmm. But it seemed like, you know, when you have De Jong do it from the midfield, it gives more of a chance for the front three to be moving up rather than Messi pulling back and then trying to get the wing back running forward in Alba.
Definitely.
So, you know, I think that's going to be something we have to watch out for and see how Frankie's able to use those long balls once Messi's in, once Dembouz is in to run like a gazelle.
True.
You know, it could be a good...
Hopefully.
Good sign for the future. Like you said, Lenglet got that second yellow, kind of a BS call. I thought the ref all game was not very good and didn't do a good job of setting a tone.
I agree.
Kind of kept doing these things where he would bring the players together and talk to them, but they were still being chippy afterwards. You know, Lenglet actually is funny. We were talking throughout the game that he was doing well and we were happy
with
him.
He was, yeah.
On the other side, it's really going to be a big drawback that he's not going to be in the game against
Sevilla.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. He's been so integral in our defense and such a solid rock as a center back. I mean, we've talked about this multiple times. He's come in for Umtiti. He's done such a great job. Don't know how it's going to go without him. We really need those points, you know. This Sevilla game, we've played them plenty of times, and we usually look pretty good. We usually don't have too many issues.
Or we have crazy comebacks against Sevilla.
Yeah, that's true. So we'll see. I don't know how I'm going to feel about that.
Well, but, you know, you're totally right that Todibo and Umtiti are going to have to come in and play well. But one last thing I have to say about this Getafe game is I thought overall, PK has put together two very solid performances in a row.
True.
And, you know, kind of last year it happened the same thing where PK kind of rolls into form. You know, he has some, it seems like he has some games where he looks a little less concentrated, less sharp, and then he responds to the criticism and brings his A game. Obviously, we want to watch out and not have PK peak too early, right? Because last year he started to peak around February. Mm-hmm. This time it's in late September. So it is pretty early, but, you know, if he can keep up this form throughout the year, I mean.
But consider the games we've had, right? We've been struggling to keep points, and it's. He's got to show up right now.
True.
You look at some of these, we've talked about the Swiss cheese defense. We look at some of these plays that the ball's coming up, and PK and Lenglet do a great job of snuffing out these runs with good tackles, very calm, very collected. I don't have a lack of faith when these guys are defending on the ball there. Although we always have to watch out for these crosses, which is one of the biggest issues.
True.
And that'll only come with time to see what happens.
And then, you know, overall, you know, the Lenglet and PK have to perform well, but we got Mats back there. Stegen is a brick house, man.
True.
He had that one-on-one where he kicked it out of there. He had some long shots that he had to catch. So I think overall, he's just so consistent. You know, I think that his goals allowed in La Liga don't really portray how he's played and performed. I thought he did very well, except for, funnily enough, that Santi Cazorla goal in the last game. But besides that, he's been a brick house. He showed up so well in Dortmund, and it's just great to see him continue to be that rock behind us. And, hey, he's even creating offense now, right?
Wonderful offense. I can't be any happier that my boy Stegen, I have a jersey of his, which makes me even happier, has shown up in these last two games as... or in these last games as very solid defense.
So that puts us now at second.
13 points.
Yeah, 13 points. We're second in La Liga, although Atletico and Real Sociedad are tied with us, and they both have a game to play. And then Madrid, of course, is above us, and they're up by 1 point.
Of course, above us.
For once.
What are you, a Madrista here?
For once. Well, no, I'm just saying, we all know. We all know how it
is. Well, you said
out.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, we all know. We all know what this is.
Giving you a hard time because we all know you love Madrid.
Although, let's point out, let's just the podcast record stand that Yus in his home has a pair of Real Madrid joggers.
Kay.
Now, they're not his.
Not
I
at all.
I will say that. But I have offered plenty of times to either buy the joggers who the person who owns them a pair of Barcelona ones. He's always kind of lukewarm. Well, I like
he's
Ramos.
Also, let's not brush over the facts. He's also a 9-year-old child who does anything to troll me.
Yes.
And so he.
In fact, just before this podcast, he was doing a season of what he called the Barca Are Trash podcast.
Yeah, that's true. And you know what he also says is. Messi's not good,
yes.
And every time he walks in, who's playing? Of course it's Barca, because we watch Barca every week, and he'll say, are they losing? They have to be losing. Oh, they're winning? No. And it's always some negative, this is the environment.
This is the world we live in. So in case you guys are thinking we live in some sort of pro-Barca enclave.
No.
So overall, you know, we're tentatively second for now. I'm hoping that, I'm actually hoping Atletico...
You want them to win? I mean, if they draw,
it only
helps us.
I know. I mean, either way, it's not good for us. So I guess a draw would be the best outcome.
But we should be on the lookout Real Sociedad, dude. They've had some really good games these
And Oeta is always a scary place for us to play. So those are going to be some huge games. But yeah, you're right. Their record lately has been very good, right?
Yeah, last three games they've won. Going backwards, they won 3-0 against Alaves, 3-1 versus Espanyol, which we also have a hard time playing against Espanyol, and 2-0 against Atleti, which is very interesting as well. We'll see how that goes. I don't think we play them for a while. We have time to kind of warm up before then. Hopefully, Dembele and Messi are well and ready. So I just don't want us to take any of these games lightly.
Neither do I. Yeah. The season has started interestingly. Speaking of that, now we're back. So in case you guys forgot, before the season started, we decided to make a new section called Quote Me On It.
Yep.
We had made the rules that we were basically going to choose a time period, which we put at 9 games after this Getafe game. Why don't we listen back to what I described the Quote Me On It purpose as. So here's the clip from back in August. All right, so our next section up here is a new section we're going to call Quote Me On It. So we basically want a way to, you know, we throw around a lot of predictions on the show. Some of them are more correct from certain podcast hosts. Some of them are less correct from others. So this is kind of going to be a way for us to, you know, memorialize our predictions and then have some sort of set time date where we can reference them in the future.
And now we're here after 9 games, 8 La Liga games, and 1 Champions League game.
Went by quick, man.
Yeah, very quick.
And, you know, there was a little bit of joke in there about how your takes were more wrong than mine. I got to be honest with you guys. Just all across the board, our takes were off.
Very off, but we have spectacle reasons to why that happened. It doesn't matter. We'll talk about it. Anyway, so the first take was after these 9 games about how our standout or what our standout players would be, and I chose Lenglet over Umtiti. That is not a hot take. I think anybody who watched these, you know, games had thought, and even games last season had thought, that Lenglet would be the starting choice because Umtiti had so many issues after the World Cup, his knee and whatnot, and Lenglet just was a solid rock, you know?
Yep, last season, started all the big games. So I think I agree with you that wasn't a hot take, but, you know, we had to say it. And I think, you know, actually it's funny. We set those 9 games. Lenglet started all those, I believe. And then now we have the game against Sevilla where maybe Umtiti, maybe Tobido will come in. So it should be interesting to see what is coming up ahead.
It's just throwing us some screwballs. The next take I had was on Griezmann and Dembele, and we'll revisit that right now. 2, as Griezmann just arrived and Dembele being injured a lot of last season, they have to show their stripes, show their colors, and come out, make a bang.
So that take was about Dembele and Griezmann needing to come through this season in these first 9 games. How do you feel about that take now?
Unfortunately, I haven't had the pleasure of Dembele really playing any of these games. He played last game, looked good coming on the field, a lot of energy, tried to do a lot of crosses against Villarreal. Unfortunately, he's been out on injury for most of this part, and obviously I was wrong, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're totally right. You can't call him a standout player. You know, there's a lot of negativity, surprise, surprise, FC Barcelona fans around the world about Dembele. Has he turned out to be a good player this season? No, he hasn't hardly played.
Well, people are already saying, let's sell him, dude.
I know. I mean, has his investment been worth it for Barca? I mean, objectively, you can't say it has.
Yeah.
At the same time, though, I don't think there's any reason to be saying, let's sell him right now. I mean, maybe I'm being naive, and I just, you know, if you listen to any of these pods, you keep hearing me say, like, I'm waiting for the coming of Christ and Dembele. But, you know, I think we should just take some time and not be so upset. I know players are, you know, it's Barcelona. Everyone needs to perform at their highest level the whole season, and it sucks Dembele's been hurt, right? There's no other way to put it. But when he's out there, he looks good. And
yeah.
I sent a tweet out like when we made our last podcast saying everyone pray Dembele's healthy and we can see him play this game. Didn't turn out right. You know, some people have a theory that these type of muscular injuries are habitual, and that the track record of Dembele's injuries, which I can't argue with, don't look good, and there's no sign that this is going to stop. I just keep hoping he will. You know, I think on your take about Griezmann, overall, man, especially with all the injuries, he's been kind of a rock we need. He has 3 goals and 2 assists so far. You know, didn't get an assist or a goal in this Getafe game, but he's putting in a defensive workload that we all kind of hoped and predicted he would. And I've been happy with Griezmann overall. Is he being the world beater who should have been valued at what we bought him for yet? Probably not, but I don't think there's any way you could really be that tough on the guy. I think he's putting his heart out there. He's starting to gel with the team more. Those whole Suarez-Griezmann beefs haven't shown out to be a big thing. What
Fake
do you think?
Fake news. Yeah, I mean, Griezmann has done a great job on both sides of the ball. We need his defense because we're just lacking a cohesive defense in some of these very important games and just let up some easy goals. Some of these things shouldn't happen. Some of the goals we can't really prevent, like last game's goal, but I think that he is a solid foundation, like you said. I don't have any quarrels with that, and I think I made a decent prediction in that area.
Awesome. And you know, your next take was about Frankie de Jong. We both kind of had him as the hyped-up player. I think that, you know, he's started a lot of games, and he's played very well, and I think we're all very happy with his development.
I would just say that I don't want to say ups and downs, but he has a fluctuation in how much he's involved per game. As we saw today in Getafe, he had some great long balls, great passes, as we discussed. But overall, very good. I really like his addition to the midfield, and I also like how we have more variability in the midfield. We have Rakitic that we can still use, although we've seen he's not being called up as much, barely being subbed on. Busi's still strong in the midfield, and Arthur has really shown up. So I think they do a great trio with Busi, Arthur, and FDJ, and he's done a great job.
So let's get into some of my predictions. So, you know, the question was about standout players after 9 games. My first take was actually about the opposite of a standout player. Here's the clip from August. I guess reverse in terms of standout, I think Busquets is going to struggle. Okay. I think he's going to have a hard time. He's looked very slow lately since the Liverpool games. He's looked like he's not, you know, placing passes well. So in the same way that we're hoping Griezmann will kind of light a fire under Suarez, I'm hoping FDJ and even Rakitic, who can play that pivot role, will start to put some pressure to Busquets to, you know, step up his game, right?
As you heard in the clip, Adam's take was that Busquets was going to struggle these next 7 games. And how do you feel now that after these games, what happened?
Well, you know, it's funny. When the season first started, I was real high on myself, and I thought my prediction was going to happen because if you remember in the Bilbao game, Busquets didn't play, Frankie played. But I think overall we have seen a lot of FDJ and Busquets play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think Busquets has been a world beater and played super well, but he's had some games in there where I felt like he's held the ball really well against Villarreal. I thought he did pretty decent. And so you know, I guess what the issue was is I thought there would be a replacement for Busquets, and you know, kind of what I said at the end, 2 things. One is I thought FDJ and Busquets would have a hard time sharing roles, but it turns out Valverde, especially early on in the season, he was playing Frankie as like a winger kind of midfielder and pushing him farther forward. And overall, you know, even though I thought De Jong was going to play mostly a holding midfield role, it does seem like Valverde is employing him as a forward midfielder that's, you know, creating great passes, and I think overall it's been a good use of De Jong so far, especially in the second half of those first 9 games. And then on top of that, I think both of us thought that Rakitic wasn't going to just all of a sudden never play.
Disappear.
And so, you know, especially 2 seasons ago, Rakitic played some time as the pivot with Busquets. He also played as kind of a double pivot with Busquets, so I thought naturally Rakitic would take some of those games. Totally wrong take on my part. I mean, none of us could have really predicted that, especially with how much Valverde played Rakitic the last 2 seasons. So, you know, I don't necessarily think it's because Busquets has played extremely well, but he has proven to be a rock like he always has. And, you know, I think I was a little bit short-sighted. I forgot the old adage that has proven true over the last 4 years, which is that, you know, when Barca don't play with Busquets, things just look weird and off. And he has had that same impact this season. And so, you know, maybe I was a little bit too high on De Jong and just didn't understand the way that Valverde would use Rakitic. How do you feel about how that take has panned out?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think Frankie has just shown, the biggest thing that attributes to this is Frankie has shown great ability to shift in the midfield. So that allows Valverde to maintain Boosie in the middle and not have to really use Rakitic. I almost like it better that this way. It works well. I'm really enjoying the midfield. It looks more fluid.
The Arthur, De Jong, Busquets trio in the midfield has turned out very well. It's getting into form. So, you know, a lot of these takes, you know, we thought 9 games would be a good period for us to analyze how Barca is looking. Turns out we were totally wrong. We didn't think about a lot of the injuries because we couldn't have. But, you know, as these 9 games have gone on, we've kind of established more of, okay, this is going to be the starting midfield. And overall, I'm very happy.
I agree. And that also kind of leads us into your next take, if you want to touch on that.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of already touched on it, which was that we both thought De Jong was going to be a hot topic. So that was good. And then, you know, my third take about standout players was about Semedo. And I thought that, well, why don't we just let August Adam talk to you guys? So here's the clip from August.
Past Adam.
I think that Semedo, now that he's going to be given what seems like the starting role at the right back, he's going to be able to play every game. I think he's going to really come into his own.
Now that we heard Adam's past self talk about this, how are you feeling now?
Might have been my worst take overall, I got to say. I mean, you know, we went on about this in this podcast, the last podcast, the last 6 podcasts. Overall, I just didn't see Semedo, when he was given the starting role over and over, prove himself to be not only better than Roberto, but just a solid addition to the team overall. I mean, you know, I think we saw some defensive mistakes throughout the season. And as well, we just didn't see him combine well with the front three. I think it's a little bit hard to put all the blame on him because the front three has not been the same three. It's hard for players to get into a groove that they can follow through throughout the season. But overall, I just haven't seen Semedo really grow. And, you know, like we were talking today against Getafe, the run by Roberto inside, which Semedo lacks, that inside run to draw defenders and give it to Perez led to the shot and then the Firpo goal. And I continually think that Roberto offers more offensively. I definitely think Roberto offers little defensively, and he's also been really bad in the midfield. But at the right back position, as of right now, I would rather see Roberto. How do you feel?
I think that you're right. I think the biggest issue with Semedo, and I've said this before, is that he comes down the right side, and he unfortunately doesn't connect at all. We see Dembele passing him the ball, and he just makes these runs that really lead to nothing. No crosses, no interplay with the midfield or the front three. It's just unfortunate that we got him, and he was very promising. Not to say he's doing an awful job, but you are right. He just has not improved, and it's unfortunate. But we have other players right now that are filling that gap. Hopefully, we don't have to play these weird lineups where Roberto's in the midfield too much, right?
True.
We have him on the right side. Hopefully we can use him there. He's strong. I still want to see Semedo. I hope that he improves.
Same. I do too. My take was wrong, but I do. I mean, it's kind of like with Dembele, though. I feel like the way you just ended that thought is, I hope Dembele doesn't get hurt. I hope Semedo improves. Yeah. But it's like, we would have said that literally a year ago today.
Yeah.
And so the question is, you know, how long can we keep hoping for these things when they're not happening? And, you know, maybe that's what gives credence to people who say we need to sell Dembele. Maybe that gives credence to people who say that, you know, we never really have plugged the hole that Dani Alves leaving left us at that right back position. And Sergio Roberto has been a stopkeep. Because even in my analysis of Roberto, I was saying he's not perfect on defense. He just offers more as an overall right back than Semedo. So we'll see.
Think of the one of the worst things we could have put our hopes and faith in was our coach, right?
True.
And after a year, and now too, where we thought, let's hope he improves. Let's hope he changes. Let's hope this. Let's hope that.
At some point, you just need him to change.
Yeah,
and that's what we've been saying about Valverde for the last, you know, especially a few games, maybe 2 years, depending on how you want to extrapolate. Funny enough, this brings up the next thing we did to quote me on it, which was our prediction of Coutinho. So let's, you know, Yus and I were agreement, but let's hear Yus talk about what we thought would happen to Coutinho in the preseason in August.
Suarez posted that thing about having Coutinho on the team and being good friends and family, and so it seems like he's going to stay. I just don't, like we've talked about, I don't know how he's going to fit in exactly.
So there you were, Yus, back in August. How do you feel about the Coutinho take now? I mean, it's obviously wrong. But
yeah.
What do you think changed? And yeah, how do you feel about it?
I think this almost ties into what we had thought before of being hopeful, right? But I had my own negative thoughts that I still didn't know where he was going to fit in.
Or if the board was going to be bold enough to actually get rid of him.
True, and they were, and we got rid of him. I'm happy and unhappy. One of two reasons. One, I'm happy he's gone because I think he was himself struggling on the team. It made him feel awful, and it seemed like he didn't really add enough to the team, especially last season. And two, I'm happy he's prospering in Bayern.
I'm a little bit salty, but I am happy for him. I mean, it never seemed like... It didn't seem to me like he wasn't trying. I mean, there's some people out there who would say that he wasn't, and you know, he didn't adjust his game or have enough self-critical analysis to be able to figure out how to fit in our system. I'm going to chalk a lot of it up to Valverde, to be honest. And, you know, all of a sudden the player switches to a new team and is playing better. You know, you got to put some on Coutinho. But, again, I think that some of the issues were because of Valverde, where he used him, right? I remember when he got switched over, my brother was saying, oh, we got Coutinho. Do you know where he's supposed to play? Because he was worried, which was partially right, that the Coutinho and Dembele purchases were kind of, we sold Neymar, we have a lot of money, we need to get the fans happy,
yeah.
Bartow, you know, throughout these purchases. And I told him, hey, I think Coutinho is supposed to be like an Iniesta replacement. And what ended up happening, especially because of Dembele's injury, he played more of a left winger, didn't ever seem to be his role. He didn't really have the pace to compete with a lot of La Liga wingbacks. And so it just seemed like he was out of position. And, you know, like you said at the end of that clip, we didn't think he fit in. So even if he stayed, we weren't sure what was going to happen. It looks like it was better for both parties that he took a step onto a new team.
Hopefully he keeps doing well, honestly.
Unless he plays us in the Champions League. Right.
True. Well, Bayern is kind of iffy now with their whole national team thing. Hopefully that kind of fluctuates them.
Stagnators. True.
Yeah.
Well, here we go to probably the biggest, most egg on our face part of the Quote Me On It. Here is what we predicted back before the season started to be our record after 7 La Liga games.
5 wins, 2 draws, and 0 losses.
6 wins, 1 draw. And I think the draw will actually come in that last game against Getafe. So clearly I was off there about the Getafe draw. But overall, our predictions were a little bit too optimistic.
Yeah.
You know, we try to not be homers here, but we are, right? We're not journalists. We're Barca fans like all of you guys. So we were a little bit too giddy. You know, you had 5 wins, 2 draws. I had 6 wins, 1 draw. What do you think is, you know, what is the cause of our issues, and why haven't we been able to have the record that we thought we would? I think first it might be important to play this one last clip from August. Here's what you thought about Messi's playtime throughout these first 8 games.
Messi will not have the least amount. I think he might miss the first game like we talked about, but that's only 1 game of 6.
So that's my take on Messi's gameplay in these 7 games. Unfortunately, we saw him get injured. He was out for the first few games. We barely saw him come back, and then he got re-injured. And I think this is why we were pretty optimistic about our predictions, right? We thought the GOAT was going to come out. He's going to...
The best.
Yeah, the best. Was going to come out and just kill it. But unfortunately, we had some injuries. And it's not just Messi, right? We've said Dembele and Alba and a couple others. But I would think that's our main thing to why we thought we would go 5-2, 6-1. But we also have to consider that we've had some shaky lineups, and I don't really know what the whole Swiss cheese defense has been going on. We'll have to figure that out as we continue.
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of my take, first off, yeah, no one expected Messi to miss that many games. Let's just get that out of the way. No one expected Dembele's, well, maybe we should have, but we didn't expect Dembele to have injury problems again, which was a huge issue. I think we were hopeful that Messi was going to be the glue. And so, you know, the theme of last season, as I always say, was Valverde plays trash ball and Messi saves us. And so we were hoping that that would happen again. And I think we thought Messi's ability, as we all know they are, we're going to be able to overcome the issue of new players gelling in a new lineup with, you know, new formations, new playing together. Sure. And, you know, without Messi, that growing phase really needed to happen, right? So we talk about how the first game, Busquets didn't even play. Now he's up there with Arthur and Frankie de Jong. The first few games, Arthur didn't play. So there was a period there where I think Valverde and the team in general needed to kind of learn how to gel together and, you know, who was going to be our starting midfield, who was going to start in the front three. Like I also always say, there was the big issue of the preseason. At the time, we didn't really think that, you know, all those trips to Japan and to the USA true. Would really affect us as they did. But very clearly true. they had a huge impact on the team. Starting off La Liga with a cohesive unit, I think the last two, three games we're seeing, well, two games because we lost the 1-3 ago, but
yeah.
we thought that these last two games have shown the team growing together and getting better and becoming more cohesive, and hopefully that will be a sign of the future.
Let us revisit the teams we lost to, right? Granada, we lost to this team that just came back up from relegation.
We wouldn't have thought in a million years
no
that
way.
Was going to happen.
Especially a 2-0 loss. Then we consider losing to Bilbao, which was, I would say, very odd. And not only that, but we're talking about the first seven games of La Liga, some of the very important, like, La Liga point-driven starting area. We won a solid foundation in the beginning. We didn't think we were going to come out and lose two games in the first seven. That's
not
crazy, especially thinking in the last two seasons. How many games did we lose early? Even 2 years ago, we didn't lose a game until, what, the last two games, three
yeah.
games? There was almost no thought in our minds that we would come out and do so poorly.
Yeah, I mean, Valverde's tenure, like, even though the Copa fell apart in the final, even though Champions League had those two
yeah.
nightmares, Valverde's thing was La Liga.
Yeah.
I should say Messi's thing was La Liga, and then we didn't have him. And so
yeah.
I think overall, you know, we were a little bit too happy. I think in general, these looking back on this, quote me on it, I think it was a good experience for us to kind of, you know, see, look back and reflect on how much of a wild, wild west this first eight games, seven league, one Champions League has been. And so, you
not,
know.
Not only that, but it almost keeps us in check.
True, true.
Right?
Yeah. And I think, you know, we'll probably make a new quote me on it sometime in the next 2 weeks, predict the season through Christmas or something like that. Maybe we should be a little bit less optimistic.
yeah.
Maybe
more
we
critical.
Should temper our expectations. And also, you know, now we have a better view of how Valverde will line up. I think, of course, you know, it's at the beginning in August, we had no idea what the midfield would be like. Now we have a good idea of the midfield. We still have no clue how the front three are going to line up and who's
yeah.
going to be in that front three. So should be a good time to predict.
And that considering, it'll give us a chance to see what happens in the Champions League in our group, right? So I think that, excuse me, I think that'll give us more of a, I want to say more of a confident outlook on Champions League, but who knows if it'll be confident, you know? So we'll see.
Speaking of the Champions League,
yeah.
we have a game coming up on Wednesday against Inter. Should be exciting. They drew with a very late goal against Prague, so clearly they haven't started off on the best foot. Do you have any prediction for who's going to line up and who might score and what the game overall will result in?
Well, the issue is I still don't know what Messi's going to do, right? Or not what he's going to do, but how are they going to say if he's okay to play. And then we also have Dembele, who Valverde has said he is not sure if he's going to play. And the injury or the choice for him not to play this game against Getafe was a precautionary one. So my lineup prediction, hopefully we see Dembele, Griezmann, Suarez. I think Messi might still sit out, which is very odd, but
I think he might be a sub.
Sub, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think he'll start is my go-to. I think I'm trying to be more real this time, as we just talked about. The midfield, same midfield lineup. I think Semedo might not start because I and Firpo. I don't know why I keep mixing those two up, but Firpo is going to start. And, of course, we are going to have Lenglet and Piqué because Lenglet's only missing the La Liga game.
Yeah, I mean, it's a game at the Camp Nou, so I feel more positive than away.
True.
I think Inter have not looked great. I actually believe they had a game today. But overall, you know, they won 3-1 today. Alexis Sanchez will be making his return to the Camp Nou. Should be good. I think he'll have a decent applause. I'm going to predict the game's going to end 3-1, and I think Suarez will score once, Griezmann will score once, and I think Frankie De Jong will score once.
Really? Wow.
Yes. Okay. Champions League boy. He's the golden boy, right?
I'm going to go with a... Gosh, this is hard. I'm going to go with a 1-0, and I'm going to take Griezmann. I almost went Suarez there. But
Suarez in the Champions League.
That's why I changed
it. It's not a way, but yeah.
Still, his scoring in Champions League has almost been non-existent. Almost. Not anywhere near anything we ever want to see.
And ending on that positive note, thank you guys for listening to the Barca Breakdown. This is our first experience, throwing in some old clips. Hope you guys liked it. Like we said at the beginning, spread the pod to anyone you know who loves Barca.
Please.
And please give us a review, comment, Twitter message us, Instagram, all the above. Have a nice weekend.